chapter 20, Jesus comes back to the planet. He has touched his foot on the Mount of Olives. We are behind him. Anything at all that's adverse to God's heart and plan, it's all done. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit. We looked at that last week. That's the abuso. And a great chain was in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil. Remember, that's not his name. That's a moniker. That is a description. Devil means accuser. And Satan, that's not his name either. Also another description, adversary. His name is Lucifer. And bound him for how long, you guys? 1,000 years. This is not an allegorical sense. This is a literal 1,000-year time. The Latin Vulgate, mille, 1,000, annum, years, 1,000 years. That's where we get our word millennium from. God says, work 6 days, right? And what were you supposed to do the seventh day? The Bible says, with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. From Adam to Abraham is about 2,000 years, if you do the genealogies in the book of Genesis. Abraham to Jesus is about 2,000 years. So how many thousand years now? And what is today's date? The year? So that is 6,000 years. The seventh millennium, the 7,000-year period will be what? Rest, the millennial reign of our Lord. There are some denominations who believe, well, really the millennial reign of Christ already began. Yeah, but it's 2,000 years. Well, yeah, it's not a literal 1,000-year period. What does it say here, everybody? 1,000 years. Now verse 3. And he cast the devil, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him. Remember when the devil tried to set a seal on our Lord's tomb through the agency of the Emperor of Rome? But now the Lord says, let me show you something or two about seals. Set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more until the, how long? 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, after the 1,000 years, he must be released for a little while. And we looked at that last week. Why does God let him out one more time? It's because God is coming full circle back again. And we saw the 7 dispensations that God has allowed man to try to govern himself via conscience or the law. How does the flesh do by itself? Lousy. We need the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. We looked at Isaiah chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 11. We described what the millennial reign is going to be like. The climate is going to be restored, very likely, to what it was before the flood of Noah. Thorns and thistles likely are not going to grow on the ground anymore. If you have a garden, you know this one. If you do nothing with your garden except plant your seeds, what will grow? Well, your corn and your beets and your cucumbers, but what else? All that other garbage. Have you ever noticed how hard you had to work to keep the weeds out? In the millennium, that's all going to be reversed. All the weeds are going to be transformed into their original design and bringing forth produce. The animals, as we saw, are not going Discovery Channel on the other animals. We see that the lion is eating straw like an ox. We see that the little kids are playing with the cobra. The wolf isn't eating the lamb. What's going on? It's God restoring planet Earth back to its Eden-like state. And throughout this 1,000 years, where are Lucifer and all of the fallen demons? Incarcerated away. We have our new bodies. We are walking around the humans as well. We are the physical extension of God's administration as he personally, Jesus, is in Jerusalem. And God assigns you here and there. And I've heard over the years, I hope God assigns me to Hawaii. Remember, planet Earth is fixed. Every place is like Hawaii. The uneven heating of the Earth that we have now, hot at the equator, cold at the poles. That won't be happening anymore because of this water layer likely restored. That solar energy hits the water layer and is evenly distributed around the surface of the earth. Every place is like Hawaii. Imagine going to North Dakota in January and you got your flip-flops on. The humans that have made it through the Great Tribulation begin to repopulate the earth. And the first couple generations, they know the stories of what it costs their salvation. Jesus is ruling and reigning on the planet. There are no carcinogens anymore. The animals, you don't have to be afraid of them. I think God turns the mosquitoes into butterflies. And there won't be any goat heads anymore. Praise God, we are in Northern Nevada. Goat heads, what's up with goat heads? I remember when I got my first Nike Air, whatever it was. And then pump them up. And I was walking on the little trail by my house. I'm all, check me out of my Nikes. Woo! $70 right down the old. All of that is going to be changed. It's that probably third and fourth generation that grew up in this Eden-like condition. We're going to be restored kind of like Adam was before he sinned. No ability even to think of sin or sinning. We can't be tempted. That third or fourth generation, they grew up in this. They've never had to deal with demonic nuisance. Jesus is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. Planet Earth is perfect. We don't need cars. Why? Because you don't have to go anywhere. You walk outside, there's your basketball-sized strawberry. Won't need Albertsons. We won't need Walmart, Sam's Club, and dare I say, Costco. So with all that, what will the humans do? Well, they should respond, right? Let's keep cruising. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them. We've discussed all these. This is the church. And judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image. Who are these folks? These are the tribulation saints. When they were dying, their physical bodies were staying here, but their disembodied spirits, we saw them as near the altar in heaven. At the end of the 7-year tribulation, guess what? They get their new bodies, and they too are judging and ruling and reigning with Christ. They didn't worship the beast or his image. They did not receive the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for how long? It's 1,000 years. The church is given new bodies at the rapture, and also the tribulation saints get their new bodies at the end of the tribulation, ruling and reigning with Christ. Hold your finger here. Join me in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And let's explore this new bodied thing. Paul was pretty excited about it. Verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, meaning resurrection, that means that Christ isn't risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Well, how do we know that Buddha knew what he was talking about? Muhammad or all these other guys? How do we know that they're right? Joseph Smith Jr., Charles Taze Russell. How do we know that they're right? Well, you just better believe it. The founder of our biblical Christianity, you guys, says, not only believe in what I say, watch what I do. He rose from the dead. That's a wonderful advantage over any other thinking philosophy. Our Lord, a fact of history, rose from the dead. Verse 18. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we above all men are most pitiful. If Christ hasn't risen from the dead, look at you all sitting here on a Sunday for no reason. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. How many feasts of Moses were there? There were 7. The first was the Passover, blood of the lamb on the door. running concurrently for the next 7 days is unleavened bread. Leaven is always a picture of sin. Then this third one was kind of peculiar. Passover was always on the 14th. It never wavered, never the 15th, never the 13th. And because so, it moved up and down year to year. But first fruits was a little different. Find your Passover, find the next most immediate Saturday or Sabbath, and then the first fruit was always celebrated on the next day, Sunday. When Jesus died, he died on the 14th, Passover. And he was the sinless one, right? He fulfilled in his life and body and teaching the unleavened bread. What day did he rise on? Sunday. The 14th, on that particular day in 32 AD, fell on a Thursday. 3 days later then, of course, he rose again. In the Jewish understanding, find the Saturday, find the next Sunday. Jesus rose on the feast of the what, everybody? First fruits. His was the first resurrected eternal body. Verse 21. For since by man, you can write Adam, came death, and by man, notice your second man is capitalized because the translators knew this is referring to Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even when we're born, as pink and plump and fresh as we appear, we know that hidden within our genome really are the breaking down processes that eventually will lead to all of our demise. I checked that out, by the way. Did you know that in Washoe County, the mortality rate is 100%? Thank you, Adam. Verse 22. For as in Adam everybody dies, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. He's speaking of the resurrection. But each one in his own order. First, Christ, the first fruit. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming, that's the rapture of the church. And then, 24, then comes the end, or the end of the great tribulation. When he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. That's what we're looking at here in Revelation 20. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. Through the course of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, humans are living upwards of 1,000 years again. How do the humans do under that agency? Many choose not to follow God. Verse 26, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is what, everybody? Death. Have you guys noticed that a large majority of the video games that are available to our young people, what do they often have to do with? Death. You know, I'm not going to be the school marm looking over your shoulder, but would you consider with me that the Bible says that an enemy of God is death? You know, parents, may you seek the Lord and hear his leading and guidance. But when your kids are paused over the next gaming purchase, would you just maybe see if there's death going on in it? This is an opportunity to tell your kids, the culture we live in is completely immune, by and large, to death. Most of us don't have farms where we have to raise our animals and feed them, tend to them, then we have to use them for food and sustenance. That's lost on many of us. We just know that we cruise up to the store and we pick out the brightest red hamburger we can get. And it's all nicely sitting in that little styrofoam boat. And then we get to the counter and we check out. Can you double bag that, please? It's a little juicy. A friend of mine, years and years ago when I was living in Reading, he was an L.A. boy through and through. And he moved up to Reading and they got him a little ranch. So they started raising livestock. And they raised chickens. And as will happen, sometimes chickens are naughty to other chickens. You know what you have to do to naughty chickens? Well, you give them a 12-step program and you set them aside. We got any chicken people in here? He said, I will never forget. I stretch out that chicken on the block, you know. And I got my axe. First mistake, axe was not sharp enough. Kids are sitting around, "What are you doing, Daddy? What are you doing? I got to do this." He hit the chicken's neck, but the blade wasn't sharp enough, so the chicken's all... He's all, "Mr. Chicken, I'm so sorry." Whack! Sorry. Whack! Whack! That chicken head finally came off and ran around the yard, because they'll do that. If you have a feeling soul, there's something that touches you and you realize this guy had to die so that it would bring sustenance to me. That whole economy of having to eat the animals, that didn't happen before the flood. Didn't happen in the Garden of Eden. Why do animals and leopards eat other things? And why do bears eat whatever they eat? Why does this happen? Because of sin, you guys. See, we're sort of insulated from death in our society. We eat our burgers and our steaks and our filet mignon or whatever it might be, or our chicken, you know, hacking off the drumstick. Look at that. Like Henry VIII. And we are removed from death as a rule. Please look one more time. Verse 26. Death is an enemy of God, and God is going to take care of it. Loved one, when your kids are pausing over the next game purchase, that's an opportunity to tell your kids, you know something, whether it's aliens or whatever it might be, a little Lego men, whatever it might be, the idea of death has been largely desensitized in our culture. And son or daughter, you need to know something. Death is an enemy of God. If you've ever stood at the memorial service of a loved one, you know what I'm talking about. Would you skip now down to verse 42? 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 42. "And also is the resurrection of the dead," the physical body. Now watch this. "The body," our current body, "is sown," you know, like when you sow seeds in the ground and something will pop up. "Your body was sown by a seed as well, because our DNA has been altered by Adam and sin. The body now is sown in corruption," or it breaks down. "It will be raised in," what everybody? "In corruption. It was sown in dishonor. It will be raised in" what? "Glory. It was sown in weakness. It will be raised in" what? "Power. It is sown a natural or fleshly body. It will be raised a" what? "Spiritual body." Skip to verse 51. Behold, you guys, I'm going to tell you a mystery. The Greek word mysterion, it doesn't mean, you can't guess it. It means, voila, I'm going to show you something that was misunderstood before. "We shall not all sleep. Some of us are never going to taste physical death. Some of us will be changed." And right in your margin there, 1 Thessalonians 4, "We shall not all of us sleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This corruption will put on incorruption, a brand new body. We'll rocket out of here and meet the Lord in the air." Verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible." No more glasses. No more receding hairline. That's not a bunch of rabbits dancing backwards. No more overweight, underweight, too tall, too short. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written," Hosea 13, verse 14. "Hey, death, where's your sting? Hey, Hades, where is your victory?" That's the resurrection of the body. Let's go finish up in chapter 20, verse 5. "Now the rest of the dead," that would be the unrighteous dead in Sheol, "did not live again." Read that, getting their new eternal bodies, "until after the 1,000 years were finished." This is a very important point of doctrine. Everyone will get a resurrected body, fit for eternity. However, there's only one of two locations that you can live eternally in that body: with the Lord, or the place we'll see here in a little bit called the Lake of Fire, which is not Sheol or Hades. It's another location. God has a place that he originally designed for Lucifer and fallen angels. But humans will go there. Why? Because they refused every effort of the Lord to keep them out. Immediately after the conclusion of the tribulation, there will have been actually six resurrections. The first one, if you're taking notes, was Jesus, the first fruits of them that slept, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Number two, there was another resurrection. It happened at the time Jesus expired on the cross. There was darkness, of course, and then the veil in the temple was ripped in half. And you know one of the other little details? Some of the believers in Jesus who had died, they were resurrected. And the Bible says they came out of their tombs and started cruising around Jerusalem. And then that's all the Bible says about it. Anyway, next verse. What do they do? Can you imagine sitting in on one of those Bible studies? Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. Then next came the raptured church, as we just read. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Now there's another resurrection. That would be the two witnesses there in Jerusalem. That's in Revelation chapter 11. Then the tribulation saints. At the end of the tribulation, they get their new bodies. We saw that in Revelation 20. And then believing Israel also are coming out of the grave at the end of the tribulation. And they too will rule and reign in their new bodies with Jesus. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19 through 21. I'll read it to you. Your dead shall live, Israel. Together with my dead body, they shall rise again. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. And the earth shall cast out, rocket out its dead. Ezekiel 37, verses 12 through 14, I'll read it to you. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Israel, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Amen. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part of the first resurrection. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a part of this first resurrection. If you believe at all this is academic nonsense, please pay close attention. Over which the second death, the great white throne we'll see in verse 11, has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for how long? 1,000 years. Verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, now the camera moves to the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, those that have been destroyed and utterly controlled by the Lord, to gather them together to battle, whose number is, what does it say there? Just very few, not too many. Earth has been restored to Eden. Jesus is ruling and reigning on the planet. New bodied saints are living among the humans. Perfect harmony of nature and civilization. Satan and all the fallen angels are incarcerated. There is no lack, no crime, no disease, perfect health. Steve is ruggedly handsome. And at his fighting weight of 195. Perfect peace brought about by the Prince of Peace. What do you think? When Satan is let out, Surely there won't be anybody that'll say, no, we like it here, thank you. What's the number, you guys? As the sand of the sea.